Faith begins the Christian life and it ends with faith as well. We start our life in Christ with faith, but loved ones, you continue right now by faith. You show up here by faith. You live by faith. You walk by faith. You move. You love by faith. You trust, of course, by faith. This is the power of the gospel.
Difficulty is everywhere in this life, loved ones. But for the life of the believer, choosing to trust God in the midst of difficulty is part of His great plan for us. Hey, welcome to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and you've joined us in the middle of a series we're calling In God We Trust. We're taking a verse-by-verse look at Psalm 31. And in today's message from Pastor Robbie, we're catching a great look at just what it means to make the Lord our refuge in this life. Hey, if you're struggling with trial and difficulty right now, we're glad you're here because this message may just be God's specific word for you today. Let's turn things over to Robbie now with this important message for us all.
For God to be my refuge, this is a commitment of one's entire destiny to the Lord. This isn't just today I need your help. This is in my life. Everything I am and who I am, I commit myself to your love and care. My destiny, my life, my will. So if you and I say, God, you are my refuge, if we mean it biblically, what we're stating is all of me, every part of me, this day and every other day, really into eternity, I commit myself to you. The character, the mercy, the salvation of God. But listen, this is where the vast majority in this world are so foolish. They seek temporary refuge in this world. What do people do? What do people do? They take cover in their lust. They find shelter in their pleasure. They seek peace in their atheism. And it's this darkened and deceived mind that cannot see that this shelter, these shelters, they will not last. Because the Bible says that the storms of God's wrath will tear it to shreds. All these shelters will be made to be nothing. The righteousness of God's judgment will prove that their foundation was built on sand. But see here, loved ones, this is the power of the gospel. When God is our refuge, we build ourselves, our lives on the rock which cannot be moved. If you look at verse 1, David says, in your righteousness, deliver me. In your righteousness, God, deliver me. Now, how does that make sense? It makes perfect sense in light of Romans 1, verse 17. And this is the parallel of Psalm 31 and here in Romans 1 of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and understanding the gospel. For Romans 1 says, for in it is the gospel. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God has been revealed. How has the righteousness of God been revealed in the gospel? Well, ultimately, the justice, the holy character of God is revealed as He makes things right, as He deals with evil, as He sends His love. But the righteousness of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, has been revealed. The perfect Lamb of God who lived this life to die and to be raised from the dead. That's the righteousness of God that has been revealed. And notice how this righteousness delivers us. We are delivered from our unrighteousness to God's righteousness from faith. I love this phrase here. It meant so much to me this week. From faith, for faith. The Christian life begins with faith. A footnote in my Bible on that phrase says the beginning and end of faith. Faith begins the Christian life and it ends with faith as well. We start our life in Christ with faith. But loved ones, you continue right now by faith. You show up here by faith. You live by faith. You walk by faith. You move. You love by faith. You trust, of course, by faith. This is the power of the gospel. It's revealed from faith, for faith. As is written, the righteous shall live by faith. It's interesting. It was this verse that changed Martin Luther's life. That one of his friends says made him the happiest day of his life. Why? Because when you're covered by the righteousness of Christ, you've found a refuge from death itself. You see, when the righteousness of Christ covers you, you're good. You're saved. You are free from death, free from hell, free from Satan. This is why we make the Lord our refuge. Or we can try to find refuge in sex. We can try to find refuge in money. We can try to find refuge in possessions. But the Bible promises those refuges, they're going to hell. They're all going to hell. And this is why then the Lord is our refuge. And when we know the Lord is our refuge by faith, it allows us to be used in very powerful ways and to do extraordinary things. John Huss, he was the Bohemian reformer. He was burned at the stake in 1415. Before his accusers lit the fire, they placed on his head a crown of paper with painted devils on it. And he answered this mockery by saying, "My Lord Jesus Christ, for my sake, wore a crown of thorns. Why should not I then, for his sake, wear this light crown, be it ever so humiliating? Truly, I do it willingly." After the wood was stacked up to Huss's neck, just picture that, the Duke of Bavaria asked him to renounce his preaching. Trusting God completely in God's word, Huss replied, "In the truth of the gospel which I preached, I die willingly and joyfully today." The wood was ignited, and Huss died while singing, "Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, have mercy on me." How is that possible? It's possible when you know the Lord is your refuge. Because if you are hiding in the fortress of God, you know you cannot lose. And that's where faith comes in. I commend you as you wake up each morning during this series. I ask the Lord to remind us that as our feet hit the floor, we will say, "The Lord is my refuge. Today, the Lord is my refuge. Today, I'm secure in him. Today, I cannot lose. Today, the hand of God has gotten me. Today, the love of God is upon me because the Lord alone. My house is not my refuge. My family is not my refuge. My car is not my refuge. My job is not my refuge. My bank account is not my refuge. My savings are not, it's not my refuge. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my refuge." This is why we trust him. This is why in God we trust. The Lord is my refuge. That's reason number one. Here's reason number two. I trust you as my guide, Lord. I trust you because I trust you as my guide. You are the one who leads me. Verse 3. "For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they've hidden for me, for you are my refuge." Notice in verse 3, the same truths are repeated from verses 1 and 2. When these things are repeated, that's always significant in Scripture. And we're learning that in verse 3, that as we belong to the Lord, we find ourselves within a fortress which is impenetrable. The city walls in David's day were everything. The larger and thicker the walls, the more powerful and safe you were. Because the enemy had to break through these walls. So to be in a fortress of God is to be in a fortress that will never be conquered, will never be defeated. Now, picture yourself right now. You are a child of God. Picture yourself in the fortress of God. What happens is so often is we look at the temporary things of this world and we get distracted by the different accusations and pains and trials that come at us because they're real, but it gets our vision off of God and the reality of where we actually stand. And all of a sudden, we make ourselves susceptible to being in a place where we forget who we really are, children of the King, saved by Christ, forever redeemed, never to lose. And we get discouraged and downtrodden and so weakened by this. But listen, love. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are right now in a fortress which is impenetrable. It will never be defeated. The walls can't be knocked down. It doesn't matter what Satan throws at you. You will be there forever and ever and ever and ever. So picture yourself on top of that castle looking down and saying, "In your face, Satan," all right? Or "In your face, enemy," or you know, humbly but with a great conviction and power. This is your reality. Can't lose, can't be moved. You're with the rock, you're with the fortress. God is your refuge, and you hide in him. Now, it's important, though, as we understand verse 4, that even with God being our fortress, the enemy still lays traps. The opposition still lies in wait. And the imagery in verse 4 that's being presented here is an animal being pursued and hunted by hunters. The devil prowls around like a lion. The Satan in the Gospel of John seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's the imagery here that's being presented. It's a desire to capture and kill. And so David, he sees this, but notice by faith, he rushes to the leading and the guidance of God, the one that he can trust. So what are we learning? Life's going to be tough. Amen? It's going to be filled with trials, guaranteed. But the Lord can and will be found within our trials. Now, this is such a word for us in our day. The enemy's hunting down, trying to capture and kill. Consider how the enemy lays traps today. Consider how the enemy lies in wait. Consider how the enemy uses, look here, supposed friends in our lives that are seeking to lure us away from the Lord, his church, and the light of Jesus Christ, and turn us into victims of horrendous evil. The internet itself is a feeding frenzy, preying on wandering and lost souls, so often viciously trapping young people and older people as well. It's sick, it's evil, it's demonic. If you are here today and you are being lured away and enticed by things of such, you run to the Lord, you run to the Lord, you trust, you cannot trust these things that you are dabbling in. Run to the Lord. In God we trust. I see it now more than ever. People desperately trying to lure other people away into sin and darkness. I do. I see it now more than ever. There are people claiming love upon another person and claiming promises and claiming pleasure and claiming all these things. Come on, come with me. Come on, don't go to church. Don't go in that place. Don't listen to that guy. Don't read that Bible. Come with me. Let's have fun. Give that a break. Let's go over here and luring people into darkness and death. It's happening all the time. And it's a device of Satan to see people hunted down and killed. We need the Lord to be our guide to say, who do we trust? Who do we trust? We trust those who trust in God. A.W. Tozer said, follow the man who falls to God. Listen to the man who listens to God. Follow the man with oil on his forehead. You see, that's why the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 23, he leads me in paths of righteousness. See, he leads me. God leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Right here in our text, verse 3, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. I trust you, God, because you guide me for your glory. I can't trust the world, but I can trust in you, Lord. But I can trust in you. And I trust that you are guiding me for your glory. There's no other light other than Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, because this applies for sure to many people here right now. How are you right now being lured away from the light of Christ into the darkness of Satan? How are you being lured away right now? Is it some show that you're watching? Again, what friend is actually pulling you away from Jesus Christ? It's not much of a friend. What website is seeking to ruin your life and destroy you by taking you away from the power and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ and ripping your life into shreds? You just can't trust it. Run right now. Wake up. Run. And God, we trust. And God, we trust. He's the guide that I can trust. He's the refuge that I trust. He's the one that I go to. Lord, help us wake up. Some young people here maybe right now, some men here right now, all of us here right now. The Lord is my guide. Why do I trust the Lord? Reason number 3, because I trust you with my spirit, Yeah, I love verse 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Now the declaration of trust throughout the psalm seems to only be getting stronger. Notice in this verse how far away this is from God as one compartment among many in my life. Do you see that? Into your hand I commit my spirit, my everything, my being. I commit it to you. I give it to you. So many believers in this life, though, they need God when they need God. When they don't need God, they don't need God. And so God's just one kind of, they come to church on a Sunday morning and then they leave. They don't see him again until next week. That's not into your hand I commit my spirit. That's not a whole lot of anything. And what happens is we only go to God when we think we need him. Otherwise, our life is just a string of selfish pursuits. That's so far away from this right here in the life of David, which, by the way, is why trouble so often is so good for us. Heightens our senses and our love. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Notice, I love this week. Notice the phrase, into your hand. You may want to circle that or something. The awesome, glorious hand of God. I found out this week the Bible, give or take a few verses, has 121 verses speaking about the hand of God. Let's discover a few together right here. Little word study on the hand of God in Scripture. Because into your hand, what kind of hand are we committing our spirits to? This hand, this is awesome. Psalm 145. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. That's a pretty sweet hand, don't you think? You open your hand and every living thing finds satisfaction. Who else can bolster that? No one. God is awesome. This is his hand. This is his hand. Here's another verse. Isaiah 40. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? That's a pretty big hand. How much water can you hold in the hollow? This is the hollow of your hand. How much water can you hold? Teaspoon, maybe two, if you're gifted and blessed. God, he can hold all the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand. Awesome. Those are big hands. That's a powerful hand. That's an incredible hand. That's a hand that answers to no one. Amen? This is our God. This is his glory. This is who he is. Two verses on the hand of God. 119 more to go. All right? Here's another one. Psalm 95. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. What do your hands make? I'm pretty good, man. I can make like knitting and stuff, and I can make like some like, you know, carpentry. Well, that's great. That's great. Great. Well, God can make the earth. All right? He formed everything with his hands. Awesome. Here's another one. Isaiah 64. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Your heart beating right now? Good. Your lungs breathing right now? Good. Your mind thinking? God formed you. He made you. Every cell has been made by him. You are his work. Him. Those are pretty awesome hands. Here's another one. Job 12:10. In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Everything, all of life in the hand of our God. And right in our text here today, how much more does this become significant? My times are in your hand. I like my life being in that hand. I like my times being in this hand. And one more verse. Here's the martyr Stephen calling out and saying, did not my hand, he's quoting God here, did not my hand make all these things? Did not my hand make all these things? Now, little word study on the hand of God. Now, let's go back to verse 5. And notice, into your hand. Into your hand, I commit my spirit. That sheds some light for me now, does it for you? That's a hand that I'm willing to give my life to. That's a hand that secures me. That's a hand that holds on to me, never let me go. That's a hand that is capable of anything and everything. That's a hand that is awesome. Makes me want to sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. The whole world. He's got the little bitty babies. He does, man. Everyone, they're his. In his hands, he's got the mummies and the daddies. He's got them all. They're all in his hand. Listen, he's got you. He's got Adrian in his hands, and he's got Eric in his hands, and he's got Christy. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Listen, and he's got you. I want you to hear that right now, man. You take this from a nice song to sing. You take this as theological truth. Your life in Jesus Christ has been placed the unstoppable, all-powerful, unconditional, loving hand of God. And you receive that right now as God's grace upon your life again. You're in God's hand. Listen, you're good. You're good. It's going to work out, all right? It's going to work out. You're good. Because he's got you in his hand. No wonder then in God we trust. No one else we can talk about this way. There's not even close in this life. But the Almighty God, Sovereign God of the universe, he looks down upon you right now, and you're here in church at this moment, at this time, right now, to hear God say to you, I got you in my hands, and I love you more than you even have a clue. And I will never let you go. Ever. And so David knows this, and he believes this, and so he says, into your hand, here's my whole spirit. I commit it to you. And this statement becomes only more powerful as Jesus said this from the cross. Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. What a moment, quoting Psalm 31. Stephen, again, the martyr in Acts chapter 7. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. For sure an allusion to Psalm 31. And how many saints down through the ages facing death have used this verse from Psalm 31 to say, into your hand I commit my spirit. John Huss, who we mentioned already, when he was being burned at the stake, the bishop conducting the ceremony ended with these chilling words. He said, and now we commit thy soul to the devil. And Huss replied calmly. John Huss said, I commit my spirit into thy hand, Lord Jesus Christ. Unto thee I commend my spirit, which thou hast redeemed. You see, loved ones, we trust the one who redeems. The one who holds us, the one who's above all things. Because when verse 5 says, into your hand I commit my spirit, O Lord, faithful God. That's God of truth, maybe, in your translation. That's awesome. The world is lies, God is truth. I cannot trust the world, but I can trust my God. Faithful God, God of truth. The holy, immutable, unchanging God. Majestic in every way, all-powerful, awesome. The God who is truth. This is why I trust him. Reason number 3, I trust you with my spirit, leads us to reason number 4. I trust you love me personally. I trust you, Lord, because I trust that you love me personally and intimately. Verse 6, I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. Notice, I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love because you have seen my affliction, because you've known the distress of my soul. You have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy because you have set my feet in a broad place. David says, I rejoice in the love of God. I'm so glad for God's love. But notice why he is so glad for God's love. You should mark this up in your Bible. There are 4 reasons there, and they're really easy to see within the text in verses 7 to 8, because you have. There's 4 you haves. Here's why I rejoice in God's love. You have. Notice the first you have. Because you see my affliction. I rejoice in your love because you're not a distant God. You're an imminent God. You dwell with me. You are high and above, but you are also dwell with the lowly. Hey, listen to this, loved ones, right now, right here. Ready? Listen to this. God sees your affliction. Your troubles this week. Your troubles this week, your troubles today, he sees it. He sees it. Because he loves you. None of that goes unnoticed. And he says, because you've known the distress of my soul. I rejoice in God's love because he knows when my soul's distressed. He knows when I'm hurting. He knows when I'm frustrated. He knows when I'm discouraged. I love this. He sees every single tear you shed. And he keeps them all in a bottle. Every worry you face, he sees, he knows, he cares. Hey, who else? Who else can say such things in our lives? So many people misjudge us. They don't know us. They blame us. They accuse us. They don't understand us. They don't see. They don't know. God sees it all. And God knows it all. He never misjudges us. He never misunderstands us. That's why we trust him. He sympathizes with us. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but in every respect, he is able to understand what we're going through. because Jesus Christ came and lived this life and died and was raised again. I rejoice in God's love because he sees my affliction. He knows the distress of my soul. David says, because you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. Are you saved in Christ? Well, then that means you have been redeemed from death, Satan, and hell itself. You cannot lose. You are forever victorious in Jesus Christ. That's love. That's love. He gave his son that you might live, that I might live. That's love. I rejoice in that love. I have not been given over to the enemy. And here's the last reason. We're not done quite yet. One more reason that we rejoice in God's love is because David says, you've set my feet in a broad place. Remember, in this context, David's feeling crushed. He's pressured. He's on the edge of the cliff with the enemies coming at him. Oppression is all around him. Yet in this moment, this is such a good truth. In this moment, while feeling so attacked, David says, yet you set my feet in a broad place. What's he saying? He's saying, in reality, as much as I feel closed in, and as many of us do right now, so much coming against us, so much coming in, the culture of evil coming in, but in reality, in Christ, I have been set my feet upon a broad, safe, and secure place. It's called the reality of glory in Jesus Christ. It's the reality of the gospel in my life. I'm safe, I'm secure. If I can only see what is ahead of me in Christ, then I would not fear, then I would long with expectation for the glory that awaits me, that is guaranteed. That's what David says, you have set my feet in a broad place. As hard as it is, as crushing as it can be, I'm so secure in my God. And notice what David is doing here, the last thing I want to show you right here, I just want to show you this principle. If you look at verse 7, this is such good theology and application here. He says, I will rejoice. He's speaking to the future. I will rejoice and be glad in your love. Now why does he say that? Notice in verse 7, because you have. Okay? You have. So notice, David says here, look right here, loved ones, don't miss this, okay? In the future, I will rejoice because in the past, you have. You see that? I know my future because God has proved himself faithful in the past. Because you have, and you're unchanging, you're an immutable God. Therefore, I turn from my past, recognizing my present, and moving forward in my future that my God is faithful, my God is awesome, my God is love, and therefore I will rejoice in your love. I will in the time not yet lived in my life, I will rejoice in love because of the past you have. And that is applicable for every single person here right now with faith in Jesus Christ. No matter where you are, what you've done, or what you're going through, I will because you have. And that's when we say, in God we trust. In God we trust. Because Lord, to whom else will we go and where else will we go? You hold the words of eternal life and you're the Holy One, Son of God. There's nowhere else to go. So the evil increases, but then listen, never been a greater time, flag in the ground moment. Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you by faith. By faith, I'm with you.
Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.